I'm going to teach out of Luke today, Luke chapter 14, and then I'm going to go to 2 Kings also. So Luke 14 and 2 Kings, we're in a series called Peace, Love, and Politics. The name of this is going to be called something like You Are Made to Thrive in Manure, okay? How do you like that, huh? You Are Made to Thrive in Manure, all right? We'll get to that a little bit, but that's a teaser for you fans of fertilizer. So we're in this this series on politics, mostly about peace and love and grace and unity. And we're focusing on how we can have peace and love and how we can be in something as all-consuming as this political season, this culture, and where our conversations, our thoughts, our feelings is all taken over. And it's almost like we think, and I spoke about it just a little bit when I prayed, because God, thank God, showed me something else on that, is we almost think that life will radically change if one person gets elected or the other person, that come their inauguration day or come when they become president. And in my experience since 1980, it maybe hasn't been this divisive, but we're kind of new on the 24-hour news cycle. We're very new on everybody can blog, and there can be multiple opinions across the board from really, really wild to the right, really, really wild to the left. But it always, we always seem like now is the worst time in the world. And so that all-consuming is, how do we stay out of that? How do we keep out of that? And how do we be salt and light in the middle of that? I found after each election that what happened most is things just settle back down. It's like when a good company takes a really bad hit publicly and something happens and they drop, their stock price drops. What do all the wise people that know the culture do? They buy into that company because they know there's a deflated sense of something going on. So whenever we hear something bad in the world's horrible, we should raise our voices even louder, declaring God's goodness in that badness, in that dark, in that place, at the very least to our very soul, at the very least to encourage ourselves to rise up and to be at peace and to be in love and to feel blessed in this time. 2 weeks ago, I taught on being light, that we're supposed to be light instead of always shouting at darkness. And it seems to me that we take a lot of pride in the ability to shout loudly at darkness as Christians. That we like to be able to point out where it's dark, but very few of us want to strap on a light on our hat and walk into darkness. So I was going to stop, but I was reading an article on agriculture and the Bible. And so I want to talk about this morning about how we can be salt. So turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. And there's a lot going on before we get to this verse here, okay? And I don't have time to go along with all that. You can go read that or ask me some questions later if you're curious. But this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is neither fit for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So when you think of salt, what's the first thing you think of? Seasoning. Thank you. I love it that Judah participates. He quoted me the other day. I was like, I should buy you a cookie or something. So what else do you think of seasoning? Where do we find that seasoning usually? In a pantry or in a salt shaker, right? So when we think of salt, we think a little tiny bit in a container that's very well controlled that we sprinkle or we grind on or something happens where it's very limited piece of thing on our plate. Vegetables always need butter, sugar, and salt. We know that we're in the South, right? But we want salt on all of our things. And but if you take another look at this, you might see something different. Because what if the salt, us as salt shaker people, is different than what Jesus was talking about? Let's go back and look at that a little bit closer. It says, "But if salt loses its saltiness," or loses what makes it salt, "how can it be made salty again?" Salt that loses its saltiness, or salt that is no longer can be used as salt, is no longer good for the soil or the ground or for the manure pile. This salt, what if this salt that Jesus is talking about is not a seasoning, but an agricultural product? Would that change things? What if the salt wasn't to season a steak or the food that we eat, but the salt was to be thrown into ground to make crops grow better? Now, we know that you can use a lot of salt and you can destroy the ground for a lot of years, okay? But what they're finding out is that the salt that they used back then was salted into fields to bring up production, to kill certain kinds of weeds, and to take certain kind of diseases off the plants. And then salt was also, so you'd have a big manure pile. And what happens with manure is that the really good stuff of manure, if it sets too long, even though it's a waste product, nobody wants it, even though then it begins to seep out. And over time, that manure pile doesn't become good fertilizer anymore. And in the days of Jesus, you would throw salt on that, and that would retain the fertilization or the qualities or the characteristics of fertilizer that you could then use to put on ground to make your crops grow. So what if the salt that Jesus is talking about is salt for the ground and not salt for your salt shaker? It begins to change the things we see. And this scripture here, if you go back and you read some commentaries on this scripture, almost everybody up until the last 50 years uses this as salt as seasoning. Or they just ignore that it's no longer good for the soil or no longer good for the manure pile. So today, I want us to go forward with this idea that this is an agricultural salt, salt as a fertilizer and not salt as seasoning, and see what that does for us, okay? Because it works out really well for us to think of the seasoning of the world contained in church, contained in a church service. It's safe. You can buy it and sell it. You can package it. You can market it. It's a more difficult image to look at salt that's sown into the ground that has to go into the ground and be covered and possibly be trampled on and be hidden before it produces life. But we have a Savior who came in a package such that he had to be buried, forgotten about, and come out of the ground in order for us to be productive and to have life, all right? And what better time to shift our thinking from I'm going to salt a steak or something I like, something I've plated well, to this is really powerful stuff to produce fruitfulness, to produce life, and to give quality and value to a manure pile. Because if we want to describe our political system, we could call it right now the biggest manure pile we have, right? You can't hardly look. I mean, it is so negative, it's weird. You look on this one webpage or this one newscast, and everything a candidate says, they're idiotic, evil, incompetent. And then, over here on this side, you don't even hear about what that idiot said. They're talking about what another idiot said. And it's all this language, idiot and evil and all of this stuff. And a lot of it might be factual, but most of it's probably not truthful if we base the truth on what's in the Word, that God is doing something in me, through me, for me right now, and that my future is good, all right? So when I begin to let that manure pile decay, then it doesn't become any good. And we also have the manure piles of just our culture, how we draw from our culture. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. So we have a lot of different things here. And so I want to make it clear that today when we're talking about salt, that we're shifting. I'm asking you to drop your salt shaker mentality, okay? Can you do that? Some of you can't. That's okay. But I want you to do that. I want you to read this in the context probably of what Jesus was talking about instead of what you've been taught that it means, okay? So it's agricultural salt that does something for the ground. It's good for the ground. It's good for the manure pile. So how is table salt and salt as a fertilizer different? I'm going to go through a couple things here. First, mentioned it, table salt, not messy at all. Not messy at all. You go get salt for your fries at McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. It's in a little packet. You open it up, you sprinkle it out, right? Being a Christian, being salt of the world, it's a messy deal. It's a messy deal. We have to get in there and mix in with the soil, mix in with the manure. It's an all-in proposition. It's the whole thing. We're going in at all costs as a Christian. There's no little salt shaker. There's no little church service. There's no little religious setting that you can be poured out of. You can be trained. You can be equipped in the church. You can be inspired. But it's for the bigger parts of the world. Another thing is that it shows us is to be salty. We're not just preserving something for a season. We're not just preserving something to taste good 3 days later. That we're actually going into the ground and we're changing the generations that we are leaving behind us. That we're changing how ground produces life. We're changing the fruitfulness of the generation. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. And there are hurt marriages all over where we sprinkle a little bit of marriage stuff on them. And they need the salt of the world. They need that salt that goes very deep into the ground that changes the roots. It's true of those that are lonely. It's true of those that are hurt and scarred and scared. It's true. We need that salt, that depthness, that deepness that comes with salt as an agricultural salt. Table salt is called to a salt shaker. Agricultural salt is called to the ground in the manure pile. What do you think when CUC Jesus is teaching? Do you think he's calling us to a salt shaker or to the ground in the manure pile? It's obvious all the time, all the time. In fact, right after this, Jesus tells the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. After he says, listen. That's where he gives this example. Then to some teaching, he says, listen. And then he gives us three examples of lost things, and we go to lost things. We go to hopeless causes. That's why we get so excited when we find out somebody's doing something in anti-human trafficking. I emceed an event Thursday night at Bamel Church of Christ for Shield Bear Ministries, and a lady got up there, and she's sharing a testimony of how her daughter was in this isn't human trafficking, but her daughter was in a really volatile, bad relationship. Her daughter had a baby out of this relationship. The baby's dad convinced her to come see him one last time, and he killed their daughter and himself, and their granddaughter was in the other room, and so now it's a few years later, and they have a ministry to where? To dark places, to manure pile out of this tragedy, and it evokes something in you when you hear about the stories that they told of a family of that had there's just so many. It just tells you we get excited when somebody smuggles Bibles into China, or when we read of somebody going down to the Amazon and bringing medical supplies, because we are called and made to walk into darkness. We're called and made to be put on the ground, trampled on, and I don't mean in all the wrong ways or anything like that, and we're called to be on the manure pile. That's the difference between table salt and regular salt. And the thing is table salt would be ruined on the ground. Some of us are trying to spread table salt at work. We need to be spreading agricultural salt. Some of us are wanting to work things in our neighborhood, around friends. We're giving them little bits of table sauce, and they feel a little bit preserved, but the next day they're just as depressed, they're just as hurt, they're just as mean, they're just as lonely. There's this agricultural salt that's so good for the ground that may disappear eventually, but it's there in the ground doing good, and that's the kind of salt we want to be, and that's the kind of salt we want to give out. So I want us to be free of the table salt picture of Christians. I do. Because we're not here, I want to say this, we're not here preserving the big bad world until Jesus comes and takes us out of it. We are here transforming the world in the exact same way that Jesus Christ transformed the world and the exact same way he transformed my life. Then what I do with my life begins to transform people around me. And it's that be a light, that we're lights. We have to get out from under the bushel, and then we have to find our way to a hill, or at least allow God to put us on a hill. And every one of you that has one friend, that's one person at work, that has one neighbor, you have a hill that you're on. You don't have to be a Billy Graham or whoever. Just being ourselves, but realizing I'm being seen. I want my light to burn bright enough so it's seen, and I'm gonna look for influence and position in all the right godly ways. And I hate to tell you this, but being salt and light is not about winning an election. Think about the moral majority. How, woohoo, we're going to have all these morals in place, and some laws got passed, and some people got elected, and then not much anymore. And we have some really good things with really good ideas, but when they focus on, I will fix something out here, instead of I will fix something in here, they always fall short of the goodness and the glory of God all the time. All the time. We've got to be people whose hearts aren't being pure according to the world standards, because if I'm voting for this person over here, my heart is pure because I'm voting for them and they're the best choice. At least they're not a blankety blank. And if I'm over here, then my heart is pure because I'm choosing for them. We think there's some sort of purity, but the purity is the third option that comes from him. And then I vote. And then I vote. And it's not, I don't vote like, oh, I'm disgusted, or I don't vote because I have to. I don't vote because my hope is in who I vote for. I vote because my hope's already in the Lord, and I'm a citizen of heaven, and I'm a citizen of earth, and I vote out of that. In fact, I early voted already. So, and it didn't take long, even though there was 50 people in front of me. I counted them. It took me 26 minutes, by the way, because I hate to wait in line, so I have a new strategy this year. I put in my timer, so when I go, God, I've been here forever. It's like, oh, I've been here 8 minutes. Doggone, that's not forever. Anybody else had that problem about standing in line? It took me 3 hours. It took me from 8:15 to 10:15 to go to the registration place over here the other day and get my title done. And I had to go outside, and I was like, and I had paid. You know when you pay online with your registration? I had the receipt. I had a picture of the registration on my car that matched the receipt, and yet they had no proof. So whose job was it to prove that I had gotten registration from them? It was mine. I had to go back to my house and get my credit card information of when I paid, and I had to get an email from somebody else that it was like, it drove me nuts. But I was very peaceful after I went, and I turned to Jesus. I mean, I was so mad, but I almost left the line, and I'm glad I didn't, because the ladies just became nicer and nicer the longer I waited. I'm glad I didn't get mad anyways. So the proper use of salt is not preserving somebody until they get it right. It's at the very core for fruitfulness and for salvation. We are called to fruitfulness and to the fullness of salvation. And we're helping people and our world be more fruitful and to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, okay? Wherever Christianity has ever landed and stayed and put down any roots, that nation has become a better place, all right? And, you know, we've had several sets of British people come over from the UK in the last couple of years, and they use the word imperialism and colonialism. And they were awful things because of what they did and how they took over cultures. But even in the midst of that wrong thinking, bringing Christ changed the political system, changed how they treated women, how they treated slaves, how they treated everybody in that place. All right? And so that gospel that goes out changes things at the core. Our very legal system, why we can have such a bad political time, and none of us are afraid. Well, I don't know anybody who's afraid. I maybe know one guy on Facebook that's a friend of mine that's afraid. There's not going to be any military overthrow. There's not going to be any coup. No guns are going to be shot on election day. I mean, there's not going to be these generals decide to fight against this general and this state to decide. There's not going to be any of that, which happens all over the world. It's because of the Judeo-Christian mix that we have here. Our roots change things, but they're meant to change things in us and around us. So you have to ask yourself, are you desiring to be table salt or agricultural salt? And I tell you what, church people like table salt. It's safe. It's like, I want that brand. I want to be that brand. Instead of coming in a big old sack, you know, it's different when you go down to Bed Bath & Beyond and you buy some salt, right? Get a nice big shaker. You don't have to work on it. You can just get one with batteries. You push it and it grinds your salt right in front of you. But you go to an agricultural factory or a feed store, they're just thrown out on a pallet, big old bags. There's so much. We are so full of what the world needs. We are so full of what the world needs. And I don't want to make it sound like elections aren't important, that laws aren't important, that good government's not important. All important, but they're not the important thing. We focus on one thing, everything else falls way, way below that one thing, that one thing. That doesn't mean we don't participate in other things, but it's that one thing that always rises up and we always keep our eyes on. So the difference between table salt and salt is an agricultural tool. And the second point is this idea of transforming the root versus just taking care of fruit. How many of you have ever planted something and you just take care of the fruit? If you just take care of the fruit and you don't take care of the root, you'll have a lot less produce, right? Your fruit and vegetables will look a lot worse. Your tree won't be as good. You go to the root. In fact, you water at the root most plants. What kind of plants do you only water just on the leaves? It's a little tiny house plant with roots about that deep that aren't producing anything, and you spritz it. And a little one of those little bonsai trees, I don't think you put any water in the root, you just spritz it. That's not real life. They don't thrive or live anywhere. We're people who are to thrive and live wherever we're at, whatever manure pile we work in, live in, or came out of, we're supposed to be able to provide for that. Be salt and light to that. Whatever ground we came out of that was bad. So turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. So this idea of transforming the root versus the fruit is right here. And I want us to think of salt, not just to preserve for a season, but to produce for a generation. We are to produce for a generation and generations beyond, not just preserve for a short season. So 2 Kings 2, verse 19 through 22. The men of the city said to Elisha, "Please now, the location of the city is good, as my master can see, but the water is bad and the land unproductive." So he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring of waters and threw the salt into it there and said, "Thus says Yahweh, I hereby purify these waters. Let there be no longer any death or unproductiveness from it." Then the waters were purified until this very day, according to the word of Elijah that he spoke. Salt. Notice, get this picture. This is salt shaker mentality. You go get your 5 gallon a bucket of bad water, you bring it into your kitchen table, and in private you salt it, and it becomes good that you can use it. Agricultural salt, Jesus is the light of the world, you and me as the light of the world is, I am going to take the salt in, purify my vessel, and then I'm going to throw myself into that water, into that place, into that ground, onto that manure pile, and the entire place will be redeemed because of me. So you take your 5 gallon bucket, yes, but you don't just slurp from it and go, "Gosh, I hope other people have water. Why don't those idiots know about Jesus? Why are they doing this and this? Why are they voting for that?" And so you take that whole thing and you take it and you pour it at the base of government. You pour it at the base of your economics. You pour it at the base of your business. You dump it out. And the whole spring begins to change. The whole thing begins to change. I want some of that. That's the influence I want in people's lives. I don't want to just say, stop doing blank and then have everything else remain rotten within them. This was for years. Stop viewing pornography, but be rotten and depressed and lonely and miserable and shameful right here. But just stop this one, two, or three things so that I'm not bothered by you and I'm not embarrassed about you. That if you take care of some of the branches, some of the fruit, that the root will be healed. You never, by the way, heal the root by snipping off stuff. You know that, right? You have to go to the root. Now, there is some stuff, it's called, when you get fungus or you get a lot of bugs, the very best stuff you can buy, you buy it, you mix it up, and you spread it along the roots. And then those roots begin to suck that up, and it's because from the bottom up, from the roots up, it does what? Those bugs start dying, or that fungus starts falling off, and everything begins to change. And it can look dead for a while. But if you're going after the roots, you're going to get the fruit. You're going to get the foliage. You're going to look like the people you want to and act like those you want to. So I'm really telling you to walk into darkness, be okay with walking onto barren ground, and be okay with the manure piles. Don't be afraid of them. Don't shout them out. Don't just point to manure piles and say, "Stay away from that over there." If your heart is really attached and you really always see things on the news that bother you, pray about it. Ask God about it. What if for every minute of television, of news you watched, if you prayed for a minute? Would your praying go up or would your TV watching go down? What if you heard about a tragedy and you'd made a commitment, I'm going to send $20 every time I hear about a tragedy. The earthquake is in Italy, I'm going to write a check. I'm going to spend 20 minutes to pray for them. Or I'm going to reach out to anybody that needs help, that needs prayer in that. What if we did something? But no, we consume all this stuff and we weren't made to have all this stuff come in with no outlet. We were made to have something come in and then we offer. We obey. We hear something. We see fear. We see anger. We see bitterness. We see racism. We do something about it. We don't just feel it all the time and not do anything about it. So as people of salt that aim for the root. So we have, almost everybody I talk to wants social programs that pull people out of poverty, okay? But that's a temporary solution. So what we have is, if we're going to be people of salt, we create systems that aim at the root of the problem and begin to heal people so that the next generation doesn't walk in poverty anymore. Instead of the salt shaker solution that says, I'm going to give to you, I don't need to know your name, I don't expect anything from you, and I don't think you're smart enough to work on your own or your kids to do it. And then three or four generations down the road, which we're seeing now, they're still on the government payroll. Everybody I know wants social programs, but we've got to be the people that say, the Bible says we should work. The Bible says we have purpose. The Bible says we're uniquely made and designed so people can have a job. And we give them those jobs. But at the same time, we can say we don't want people to be living under the bridges. We don't, but that there's a depth that we have to have. We don't want to just stop people from having abortions. We aim for all of this fruit. We want to aim at the selfishness and the blindness that's come upon our nation. That's really what we need. We need an eye opening and a heart opening and our ears opening, seeing the truth that there's preciousness in life at any age, including people that are still in the womb. And so we're looking for a bigger picture thing. You know what? I always get a little confused when people are so mad. All right, I might hurt your feelings, so just hold on here, okay? If you need to, you can do this, all right? Now, I get a little confused when people are so mad about gay marriage, all right? Now, I'm not for gay marriage, but when I'm so mad and fearful about gay marriage, yet I spend no time on my marriage, I'm confused. Because God gave me this right here, this right here. This is mine. This over here, I don't think it's to happen. I don't think it's scriptural. But I've got to like clear my water up. And when I think about stuff like that, I'm always like, huh, why are we so projecting things that we, like they shouldn't be doing that, but we're not doing what we're meant to do and called. Salt, agricultural salt, changes morality at the very core. Not looking to prune a couple things up here. You know, I'm going to throw in the tax conversation too. So we don't just fight for lower taxes. That's fine. We don't just fight for lower taxes though. To go at the root, my root, is I own a home I can afford, not more than I can afford. I drive a car that I can afford, that I've counted the cost. I cut all my costs. I stop going out to eat. I maybe cut my cable TV. I save my own money. And I don't just aim to them saying they should do something for me tax-wise. And I would love it. I would love to pay no taxes, don't get me wrong. That would be awesome. I mean, when you see what taxes go, you're like, oh my gosh, and then I have to save some of what's left over to pay my house taxes. So, and I'm not saying, but we can all agree that we want taxes to be moderate or low, as low as possible. But then we often don't look at ourselves and say, what is my part in this? And that's getting us pure. What if all of our politicians had never been bankrupt, all lived with under their means, all were saving money? Things change when we purify ourselves in the name of Jesus, when we do what is right, when we walk in that way. So in this idea of being salt, in this scripture in 2 Kings, if you will, he will. If you will, if you will, step out, there's a supernatural enhancement, because there is no way a little bit of salt in a small bowl heals a poisonous spring except for Jesus. There's supernatural enhancement that comes along if you say, I want to be salt and light, and I'm going to step out and be salt and light. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to give of my time. I'm going to greet at the front door. I'm going to do something. I'm going to step out and be salt and light. And it might be here. It might be down the street at Team. It might be at Redeemed Ministries. There's five or six ministries in town that we support. It might be at Cypress Assistance Ministries where Janet works. There's places to volunteer, to give. There's things you can start. So the one viewpoint of salt sees us as temporarily halting the evil of the world, while the other view of salt sees us as permanently changing the course of the world from wicked to wonderful. And if we start declaring that God's wonderful, that I'm at peace, things begin to change. It's going to change so much more than the election if you will choose to be that salt and to let the one who is the salt of the earth and the light of the world to be in you and to stay in you. Let's go ahead and bow your heads. Matt, if you could turn on a little bit of music. I'm going to ask three questions to conclude here. And every one of you fall into one of these three. Every one of you may be all of these three. So the first one, maybe you're hurt, lonely, and unproductive. Things aren't going well. I'm going to ask you this morning, will you allow Jesus as the light of the world, as the salt of the gospel, to heal you at the very core, to heal your spring waters, aiming for the root instead of the fruit? So will you allow Jesus to heal you at the root? Will you stop trying to maintain fruit? The second one, maybe you're productive. Maybe there's some fruit. Maybe you're doing okay, but you have a sense that you want more. Will you give God permission to bubble up through you, to bubble up through you, through your time, how you use your calendar, how you use your resources, how you use your gifts and talents, and overflow onto people around you as the salt of the earth that you are? So the first one, aiming for the root instead of the fruit. The second one, allowing God to bubble up, asking God, giving Him permission to bubble up through you. The third one, maybe you are doing things. Maybe you've got a lot of healing. God's gotten at a lot of root. I mean, you're seeing fruit, but you want to see more results. Will you ask God? Will you ask the Spirit of God for that supernatural enhancement and increase of that little bowl of salt water that you are?